Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Tammy Fitzgerald, who's involved with the Values Coalition of North Carolina. In fact, am I saying that exactly right, Tammy? What's the exact name?
The North Carolina Values Coalition.
All right, and what's the website for that group?
It's ncvalues.org.
NC Values, as in North Carolina. Okay, it has been said that in some ways North Carolina is ground zero in the culture wars right now. Why should somebody in Three Forks, Idaho, care about what's going on in North Carolina right now, especially if they are a Christian and they are concerned about some of these values? But why should they care? Again, it's a totally different state.
Well, because we passed a law last March in North Carolina which basically superseded and repealed a SOGI law, which is a non-discrimination law that protects sexual orientation and gender identity. The city of Charlotte had passed a local ordinance that added sexual orientation and gender identity to their non-discrimination laws, and the legislature in North Carolina and the governor passed a law that repealed it and return the power for such types of laws to the state government where it belongs. Now, this is similar to the effort that happened in Houston when they passed a citywide ordinance that added sexual orientation and gender identity to their non-discrimination laws, and the pastors there ended up getting that repealed through a ballot measure. It's not quite as similar, but akin to what happened in Indiana when the NCAA and other organizations began to bully that state, and then the governor and the legislature there backed away from what they had done. So it is imperative that North Carolina retain the law that they passed. If there's ever going to be another state or another governor that will take up a religious freedom issue again. We have been battling this for almost 6 months now, and the Human Rights Campaign, which is the national gay and lesbian group headquartered in Washington, D.C., has almost taken up residence in North Carolina to fight this state law. And so if we cannot maintain what has happened here and keep any sort of repeal effort from happening, there will never be another governor or state legislature that will take on the human rights campaign again.
All right. I have here the New York Times from recently, September 21. The editorial board wrote an editorial. North Carolina pays a price for bigotry. I won't read all of it, but let me just read a little bit here and there. Governor Pat McCrory of North Carolina has some nerve. Alarmed by the rising financial fallout from the discriminatory law he and Republican lawmakers hastily passed in March to bar transgender people from using restrooms that match their gender identity, the governor seemed desperate for an off-ramp last week. End of quote from the paper of record, and they're saying that lots of money, I guess millions perhaps, has been lost, against the state. So what are your comments about that?
Well, that sort of rhetoric just shows how biased and one-sided the media coverage has been on this issue. I mean, that kind of hateful language and calling this bigotry is just so far from the truth. I mean, really, what's really happened in truth is that the state has put down a flag in the sand, and they have said you will not be able to pass laws in the local governments that would allow grown men to go into the bathroom, the shower, or the locker room with young girls. And that's what ordinances like this that was passed in Charlotte do. They ultimately blur the lines, the distinctions between biological sex, and what ultimately happens is there's no way to keep men out of women's restrooms or women out of men's restrooms. And this is just about common sense. Most people know what bathroom they should go into from the time they're born. And yet, because we have a population that constitutes 0.3% of the American population that is confused and dealing with gender identity problems, the rest of people in the state are supposed to, you know, bow down to that kind of ideology. Now, the other thing that this Charlotte ordinance did, which is not widely covered, is that it required businesses in the Charlotte city jurisdiction to operate by principles which might violate their deeply held religious beliefs. And it required any business that contracts with the city of Charlotte to adopt an internal employment and policy in their company that would elevate the rights of homosexuals and transgender people within those companies. So this was a massive government overreach to force businesses to comply with a radical sexual agenda. And what the state of North Carolina did was they planted a flag in the ground and said, we're not going to have that here. And so they've been bullied by big business. They've been bullied by the NCAA, the ACC, the NBA, and all these groups that the human rights campaign seems to command in terms of what kind of outcry happens, have bullied the state over a common sense policy like this that 80% of the people in the state agree with. And so it sets a dangerous precedent when you allow big business and big sports organizations to demand that a state pass certain laws or not pass certain laws. And that's what we have to fight.
All right, let me ask you this. The New York Times seems to imply that McCrory, who's up for re-election, is going to lose. What do you think? As an active resident, you're really in the front and center of this whole culture wars. What are your thoughts, though, on his chances of re-election?
Well, I think it's going to be close right now. The most recent polls, the last three polls, have shown him up by 2 points and 3 points over his opponent. But in a state where the governor has lowered the personal and corporate income tax rate, he's done away with a lot of the burdensome government overregulation. He's lowered the unemployment rate from almost 10% to down below the national average, and they've increased teacher pay and funding for education. You would think he would hands down be the winner. But what has happened is that the gay rights groups, like the Human Rights Campaign, have come into North Carolina to bully this governor, who has really done an excellent job. I mean, North Carolina's ranked one of the best states in the country to do business. We're in the top five under almost any business ranking that you look at. And yet this governor, because of the mainstream media and the attacks they've levied against him and big business, he finds himself in a really tight race.
All right, next question. In fact, let me go ahead and just quote the New York Times. They say the governor and his Republican colleagues in the legislature are solely to blame for the hundreds of jobs and millions of dollars the state has lost as businesses and sports organizations have turned away from North Carolina because they don't want to condone bigotry. Later in the same op-ed, or no, it's not an op-ed, it's the editorial board of the New York Times. Later in the very same piece, though, they say that the consequences have cost the state more than $200 million. So in other words, having HB2 on the books, because it supposedly condones bigotry, is costing the state more than $200 million. That's a lot of money.
Well, I don't believe those numbers are accurate. I think that the very groups that are bullying and boycotting the state are making up the numbers that look most favorable to them. And according to the Department of Commerce and the Secretary of Commerce in the state of North Carolina, we've actually grown the number of jobs in North Carolina by 25,000 since March when the law was passed. They're able to twist the numbers any way they want to, and of course they do lie about these things. But the only company that has withdrawn from North Carolina over this was PayPal, and PayPal never even came to North Carolina. They had just promised a call center near Charlotte, and of course PayPal does business in China and Saudi Arabia and places that have horrific human rights abuses. They've recently expanded into Cuba, of all places, and yet they're going to withdraw a call center from North Carolina and make it sound like it's a really big deal. over a law that simply protects the privacy and safety of all the women and children in our state. And that's just ridiculous. The other thing that's happened is you've had some entertainers cancel concerts that they were supposed to give. And the truthfulness behind those numbers is questionable, because a lot of these entertainers cancel when they don't sell out the concert. So, you know, they want to blame it on HB2, but it's probably more of an internal business decision on their part. Now, this boycott that the NCAA and the ACC are doing of North Carolina, that will hurt, because it apparently will not only impact the Coliseum where they play the games, but the little businesses around the Coliseum that mm-hmm. sell hot dogs and hotel rooms and so forth, and that will hurt. But the question is, do we want the sports organizations like the NCAA demanding that the state repeal a law? And, of course, we know these sports organizations are made up of the college presidents for the colleges who participate. And college presidents are mad with Republican legislators in North Carolina because it threatens the way they are governing their institutions. So it seems to just look all political. But let me say something about the New York Times and the state sure. of New York. The governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, has engaged in bullying North Carolina himself. In fact, he instituted a boycott of all non-essential travel to North Carolina. And at the same time, he is advertising in North Carolina for businesses to move to New York from North Carolina. And a complaint has been filed against him under a federal law that disallows states from trying to impact the economies of other states. And that's exactly what Governor Cuomo has done, and Mayor de Blasio in New York City. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the New York Times is participating in this conspiracy to harm the economic viability of North Carolina. I mean, after all, we're beating them hands down in every economic category you can measure.
All right. What about the allegation that the New York Times makes, actually, again, in this same editorial, where they're saying that the governor of North Carolina, because he's so besieged, is considering the possibility of backing down to repeal the law? Your comments there?
Well, last week, the governor and the legislature both issued statements that they would repeal the law if the city of Charlotte would repeal the ordinance they had passed. So the reason the law was...
Well, that's the whole reason the law was passed in the first place.
Exactly.
Was because of Charlotte's law.
And that's what they've always said to Charlotte. They said, you repeal the law and we'll get rid of the bill. But they have not repealed the law. In fact, the mayor in Charlotte just dug her heels in, and she held a press conference outside the city building there to announce that she wasn't going to even take up a repeal measure last Monday, and the podium had a label on it for the Human Rights Campaign, and the whole eight people in Charlotte who actually care about that ordinance that were standing behind her were paid staffers with the Human Rights Campaign, Equality North Carolina, and the transgender groups. So it made it look like the mayor works for those homosexual and lesbian and gay activist groups instead of the citizens of Charlotte.
You know, it's ironic, too. You know, we're recording this a little bit earlier than it's going to air. And here, Charlotte is having some very severe problems that have nothing to do with HB2 or the bill that was passed by Charlotte that HB2 was passed to rectify. Any closing thoughts on this whole controversy in North Carolina, Tammy?
Well, you know, this whole thing was brought about by the radical LGBT activist groups like the Human Rights Campaign, who decided they were going to inflict their damage on the state of North Carolina. And it's really just about the common sense notion that men don't belong in women's restrooms, and that no young girl should have to undress or take a shower next to a grown man. That is just common sense. And people in North Carolina are mad that the mayor of Charlotte even brought this to North Carolina.
Hmm. All right. Again, people can get more information at ncvalues.org. Tammy Fitzgerald, thank you so much for being with us on Vocal Point.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.